Now, most of us are aware that almost anything that's brought up, whether it's a political issue, a religious issue, anything we're discussing, almost practically everything will have more than one viewpoint on it. People think differently, and they have a whole different outlook on various issues of one kind. So my question today is, why do people think the way they do? Now, let's keep this on the subject of religion, because that's what we're really dealing with. We're dealing with God's truth. Why do people think the way they do regarding religion? Why do we have all these different ideas and notions that people have here and there? Well, there's a number of basic reasons, but let's just introduce this by going to Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what people believe and think in their heart causes them, that's what they are. Sometimes you'll find somebody who's just an out-and-out hypocrite, and they'll put on a show one way or the other, and that's neat, not really the way they are, but normally when it comes to how people regard religion and how they act and what their beliefs are is based on what's in their hearts and minds. Notice Luke 6, verse number 45. Luke 6, verse number 45. And here's what Jesus said here. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So it's what's within that causes a man to think the way he does. Now, what's important is if you think a certain way, then it's going to be very, very obvious you will act in that way. So, he brings these things forth, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So it's what's in the side. Now remember, the word heart is just a simple word that means your basic fundamental makeup, your emotions, everything that constitutes you as a man. It makes up your whole personality. That's what's in your heart. And as Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is, far more times than keeping it hidden. Once in a while, you'll find someone who has deep-seated feelings and they don't expose them. They're able to keep their mouths shut, but that's not true of most people. And what's in their heart is what's going to come out. So the question is, what makes them think the way they do? And when we're looking at religion, why do people think why do they think the way they do with respect to religion? The first thing, it has to do with knowledge. It has to do with knowledge. Now, let me point this out to you. All of us here, or most of us at least, think differently than what most other people think with regard to religion. Now, how did we get that way? Did we just conjure it out of the blue? Make it up ourselves? No, it's based on knowledge. Now, notice what you read here in Hosea 4, verse number 6. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And as the actual Hebrew, it has the definite articles, and it should be translated, they're destroyed for the lack of the knowledge. For lack of the knowledge. They're destroyed for it. Their lack of knowledge is what's destroying them. So you see, when you stop and consider knowledge, we have to realize when it comes to God's truth, that is the fundamental thing that gives us something that they don't have. Now, does that make us superior? Not at all. It just makes us more accountable. And we better realize it. Proverbs 19, verse 2. Proverbs 19, verse 2. It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. Now, when you can understand that, you can see why Thomas Jefferson said what he did. He said he never read the newspapers because he said you're better off to be uninformed than misinformed. And the problem with most people today is they're misinformed, especially if you pay any attention to the media, the Professional Liars Club. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 22. Jeremiah 4 and verse number 22. My people are foolish. Now, why are they foolish? They have not known me. They don't know what God stands for. They don't know what he instructs. They don't know his teaching. They don't know the difference of right and wrong. They don't know what righteousness is from unrighteousness, and just view what's going on in this world today and this whole homosexual issue and the abortion issue and everything going on in this country. Is that not true? You know what they've done? They're trying to get around obedience to God by, quote, making them civil issues. So they'll argue it's not a moral issue, it's a civil issue. Baloney. We'll find out one of these days what's a civil issue and what's a moral issue. They are silly children. And they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. They don't even know what it is. And they've been so misled and so misinformed by what goes on in society today, really, they don't have a chance. What about you? How accountable are you? Let's notice Hosea once again. Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now, can you find any kind of religious organization today that has it all together and has it right and is making it known to the world? I mean, I'm even talking about churches of God who threw away the truth clear back in the 70s. An apparent one. It's pathetic what's happened to it. What's the consequence of it? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, commit adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Pretty well describes our society today, doesn't it? We're fortunate to live in the areas in which we live because we're not exposed to all the crime that you find in a lot of the major cities, and we don't have to live in the inner city. But boy, I can tell you, in a lot of those areas, your life is hardly worth a dime. People will kill you for a quarter, or kill you for a shirt, or for a jacket, or a pair of shoes. Why? No knowledge. Hosea 6, verse 6. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So they try to placate their sin by doing this and doing that. But this is one of the big problems with the whole liberal ideology. They don't accept God. They don't really accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as having been made for them. They have no way to expiate their guilt. And men, I can tell you, are guilty before God until they wake up to that and repent. So how are they going to expiate their guilt? By all these good things they do to other people. These liberal programs, and do this and do that and help these people and help those people. And it's endless because they can't get any relief from their guilt. Didn't Paul say human beings have guilt within them? Sure he did. Read Romans, first or second chapter there. Well, that's why we read here. He wanted knowledge. more than burnt offerings. Those burnt offerings were just a reminder of sin. And if they didn't have any knowledge of God's law, and they're out there just breaking it endlessly, what good was were their offerings and all their religious activities and so-called deeds going to do? Help them, really? Let's not be naive. And I can tell you where the whole responsibility lies. It lies on the, fundamentally, it gets right down to the ministry, to the ministers in this land. Because they're the ones who are fundamentally going to be held accountable. The other leaders and influential people will be too, but boy, do not think the religious leaders are going to get off the hook. Malachi 2, verse number 7. The lips of the priests should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. He ought to be the one to tell the truth. I tell you, if a man stands up today and really starts preaching the truth of God to the nation, what happens to him? Well, that media will call him everything under the sun. When those two leading religious leaders, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, I think it was, had the unmitigated gall to say that 9-1-1 happened because of American sins, old Cronkite got up there and he said, why, they're worse than the terrorists. Yeah, that's what kind of a land we live in today. People extol those media people. Give me a break. Yes, the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He should be, but what did the Levites do? You have departed from the way, you have caused many to stumble at the law. Oh, don't bring that word law up to these religionists today. They don't want to hear it. Fact is, they hate God's law. What a contrast to Davis, who said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, here, even in the New Testament period, Paul had this to say. Because, keep in mind, he was dealing with the Roman or the pagan world in that day. Here's what he said, even among the church, he said this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Righteousness is defined in Psalm 119, verse 172, as God's commandments. All thy commandments are righteousness. So it says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. If you have the knowledge of God, then you know what sin is. It's a transgression of the law. You don't go out and break God's law because that's what sin is. I never knew what sin was until I was an adult. I thought sin was smoking, playing cards, wearing shorts, going to a movie on Sunday, or the worst thing at all, drinking liquor. Yeah, that's what's taught in churches of this world. You never hear anything about the Sabbath, holy days. God's laws on marriage, adultery, and God's law about idolatry and taking his name in vain. Well, they probably wouldn't agree with that. That's true. But you know, if you break one point of that law, God says you're guilty of all of it. So knowledge is certainly an important factor. That's what we need to realize. You have knowledge, and God has given you that knowledge, and you're going to be held accountable for it. It isn't given just for you to misuse. Now, the second thing that causes people to think the way they do, which in turn is going to cause them to act the way they do, is their orientation, their general orientation, which will have a profound effect on their emotions. For example, have you ever had some kind of an incident come up on the scene? All of a sudden, you just become enraged and angry, and in reality, you didn't think it out as to what caused it. That ever happens? That's probably happened to all of us. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 16, And here was a righteous King Asa. He made some mistakes. And he got rebuked by a prophet of God. And here's what he was told by the prophet. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubin a huge army with many chariots, and because you relied on the Lord, he delivered you out of their hand? So what did Asa do? He went and hired the Syrians to fight for him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishness. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. And Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Now, he didn't like to be corrected, did he? He had a good orientation overall, but he couldn't handle being rebuked for something he'd done wrong. Now, who was telling him? One of God's prophets. Should he have taken that correction? Sure, he should have. May not have been easy, but he should have taken it. Jehoshaphat got rebuked by a prophet too, and he took it, even though he made a few mistakes. So what I'm pointing out by this is, if you have a certain orientation, and you have a certain direction or a certain way that you look at things, then you're going to be affected emotionally by incidents and various events that come up. It's inevitable. And that will affect how you think, in turn, will affect what you do. Now, here's a good example. I was struck the other day because I was reading a decision by one of these judges. They have these federal judges. And they make some of these decisions sometime, and I think to myself, how could they have made that decision without taking a bribe? And don't think that doesn't happen. So here was this happened to be a woman, and she made some kind of a decision regarding homosexuals. I think it was that one in Massachusetts where she was the one that was basically responsible for approving of these homosexual marriages or whatever they call them over there. And she said, I'm just overjoyed by the great response toward understanding homosexuals worldwide. So she's reading various decisions and things that are made worldwide, and she's overjoyed now that they're beginning to accept homosexuals as individuals. Well, there's a reason that you read this in the Psalms. Notice what you read here in Psalm 2 and verse number 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the world today. You've been following what's going on over there in Europe right now. You have this European Union that they're trying to bring together and unite, and they're having a big argument now as to whether or not to include the world God in their charter. And a number of them don't want the word God even mentioned or brought up there. That's what we've come to. No wonder the Pope calls Western Europe and the United States pagan. He's got a good reason to say that. Jeremiah 5, verse 3. Jeremiah 5, verse number 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Stubborn, self-willed orientation. That's what makes them think and act the way they do. That's what we need to be aware of in our own lives. Proverbs 1, verse 30. Proverbs 1, verse 30. Here we have this admonishment here not to follow the wrong kind of people. And as he says here, after God, they hated knowledge. How do people react to the truth? Do they hate it? A lot of them certainly do. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of his counsel, and they despise my every rebuke. What's the orientation? Now, that's what we need to look at among ourselves. What's our orientation? Jeremiah 8, verse number 9. Here we have these various authorities in various given fields, one or another, and they suddenly become profound men of wisdom, and they're telling society what to do, and they're giving advice here and there, and a lot of it is just pseudoscience. And here's what God says about it. Do they look to God and the Bible to find out the answers? I can tell you, we have a president up there professes to be a Christian. How much flack is he taking for it? So here's what you read. Jeremiah 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. Oh, they will be. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom do they have? They don't have any, do they? So that's what we need to realize. Wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord, the Bible says. If you have respect for God and for his law, and it has a meaning to you and significance, and you're willing to abide by it, you have wisdom that most people don't have at all. Remember what David said? He said because of God's law, he was wiser than all of his teachers. Doesn't mean they're stupid people. They don't know anything. They know a lot of things. But the essential things that have to do with salvation and what life is all about and how to obey God and receive his blessings, they have no knowledge whatsoever. Malachi 2, verse number 9. Here's what he says to the priests. Therefore I have made you contemptible and base before all people. I don't know who is really the low man on the totem pole with respect to how people view various categories and professions today. I know that lawyers are rated very low, and used car salesmen are rated very low, and media people are rated very low, and a lot of ministers are rated very low. Why? Because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. You know, it's one thing to be a minister, but if you don't live it yourself, and you're just living a hypocritical life, what are you doing? You're disgracing the whole calling that God gave you. And don't think that hasn't happened. So you see, we have knowledge and we have orientation. Now we have the next thing I want to cover, and that is habits. Habits. Now, how long does it take a child to get into a bad habit? Okay, that's question one. Question two, how long does it take to break him of that habit? Big difference, isn't there? So you see, to a large extent, we're victims of habits. It has to do with our background. It has to do with our upbringing. It has to do probably with our genes. It may do with our nationality. It may have to do with what area of the country we come from. Number of factors make us the way we are. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk you in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. They didn't want what was good for them. They were satisfied with what they had. I've heard of Southern Baptists practically shot in my face. Well, my great-grandfather was a Baptist, my grandfather was a Baptist, my father was a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist. So what? Does it mean it right? Does that mean it's right? Is it because you come from a long line of people and you have a certain way you view things? So they would have none of it. Now, you remember what Jesus said here in Luke 5, verse number 39. He said, nobody, beginning in verse 37, puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst and burst his wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins shall be ruined. But new skins must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Now that's true with wine, but that's not true with the truth. How long has God's truth been on this earth? Ever since man was created. How long have these pagan concepts been on this earth? After that. I saw a bumper sticker here a while back in the car. You could tell it was some kind of an occult wagon that belonged to these people because they had all kinds of symbols and things on. And it had said, get back to the faith once delivered. Wicca. Yeah. Faith once delivered. Wicca. Witchcraft. I can tell you where witchcraft comes from. It comes right from the devil himself, and it was not here first. God's truth was here first, and that truth was rejected. So Romans 10, you know, you have these people, they're well-meaning, but they're stuck in their ways. And if they're stuck in their ways, then they're not going to change. They're not going to try to do what's right, and how they think about their old ways is going to determine how they act. So as we read here in Romans 10, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. Romans 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. See, they're set in their ways, weren't they? What did Jesus have to contend with in his day? Well, here's one typical example of it. Let's notice it in Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse number 13. And we read here, you make the word of God, and of course I'm reading into it because he's commenting on what these Pharisees did, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down. Where did Sunday come from? Where did Sunday worship come from? It was the old pagan day of Baal that was observed centuries ago. And it was adopted by the Catholic Church about the second or third century A.D. And, quote, suddenly it became Christian. And it got to the place where the authorities forbade people to, quote, Judaize, that is, to keep Saturday the proper Sabbath. That's where we got it. Handed down by your tradition. That's why people worship the way they do today. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless or your vain course of life, received by tradition from your fathers. So isn't that what we've all, unless you were fortunate enough to be born in the church and reared in the truth from the time you were a youngster, you were exactly in this course. I know I certainly was. When I became 18 years of age, I decided there's absolutely nothing to be found in these churches. I'd go and I'd get absolutely nothing out of it. So I quit. I knew there had to be truth out there somewhere, but I knew it wasn't there. They didn't have anything to offer. You can't give what you can't offer, can you? I mean, you can't offer what you don't have to give, can you? You know, Paul had to warn the people even in his day. They get carried away if they weren't constantly reminded. Let's notice what he told them here in Colossians. He said here in Colossians 2, verse number 20, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, and that's what we've all followed, traditions and habits, customs and so forth of this world, why, as though living in the world, you do subject yourself to regulations? Why do you go right back to it? You know, one of the biggest problems you all face and have faced, you know what that is? What are my neighbors going to think? What are my relatives going to think? What are my friends going to think? You know, they never ask themselves, what is God going to think? That's the first question you ought to ask. Verse number 8, this same chapter here. Beware lest anyone spoil you or cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's right. So if you've been in the habit of those things all your life, it's difficult to change, isn't it? All right, let's look at another one. This is certainly one of the reasons that people think the way they do and act the way they do, and that is, what benefit or profit do they get from remaining the way they are? What are the benefits? I can tell you this, you start obeying God, you're not going to derive the benefits of this world unless God chooses to bless you financially for tithing or protect you and bless you health-wise. But if you go along with this world, you won't receive the things of God. Plain and simple. Here's a typical example of the way people are. Jeremiah 8, verse number 10. Because from the least, that is, he's talking about the people here, from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet. Everyone is given to it. Isn't that what people live for? Get ahead, make money, get some advantage, gain something. That's all they think about. That is the driving force behind most people. Now, I'm not saying everybody, but I can certainly say a sizable number of people fall within that category. Isaiah 56, 10 and 11. Here's the problem. See, he's talking about the leaders of our nation, the watchmen. Now, some people would like to equate that strictly with the clergy, but I'd expand it a lot wider than that. I'd include influential people of all types, including politicians, policy-making people, and people that have a very, very strong and powerful effect on society. What is it to say here? They're blind. They're all ignorant. They're dumb dogs. Now, that means that they can't bark. We lived down in California one time there next to a lady. She had two or three dogs. I don't remember what kind they were now. I remember they were kind of shaggy and kind of looked like small huskies. And I don't know when she did this. I can't remember whether she did it before we moved in there. We lived in the place first, and then they moved in. And I don't know whether she did it at that time or whether she did it later. But those dogs would run outside, and they'd go... She had cut their vocal cords, had their vocal cords cut, and they couldn't bark. They could just go, and I suppose if they could have barked, they'd have kept us awake day and night. Dumb dogs. They were dumb dogs. Yeah. Well, these particular people can't tell you the truth. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone to his own gain. That's a benefit. That's what they get. That's the profit that this society and whatever particular activity they're engaged in, contrary to God's law, that's what they get out of it. Luke 16, verse 14. Here's what Jesus said here. Let's get it here. Luke 16 and verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Now I might give you an idea why they opposed Christ so much. You know, one of the main reasons they opposed him was because he was a threat to their livelihood. They saw that if all the people followed him, they would lose their office and they'd lose their income and they'd lose their responsibility. That's one of the main reasons they opposed him. Lovers of money. Well, they had it all taken away anyway, didn't they? Christ was crucified in 31 A.D., and in 70 A.D., Titus came down with a Roman army and captured the nation and destroyed the temple, and he lit it on fire. He didn't want to, but it got out of control, and if you read the accounts, the gold was just running off the walls in big melted chunks and pieces all on the ground there, and they gathered it all up, and that temple burned to the ground. That whole system was removed in 70 A.D. and never gone back to it since. That's how important their income and their wealth was to them. John 5, verse 44. I'm talking about physical amenities that people accrue from it, but there's other things that motivate people too. And here's another one of the primary motivations for people to reject God and to be unwilling to change the way they think and thus the way they do. And here's what it says. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only God? Yeah, they wanted the acclamation and the approval of men. Yeah, that's what they made important in their lives. You know, I've tried to be very, very friendly and kind to my neighbors. But if any of them ever came and asked me some very rather pointed questions, they might change their minds. I'd try to be careful and diplomatic in what I said, but if they really asked, really I wanted to know the truth, I wouldn't hold back from them. Matthew 6, verse number 2. Here's another example. I remember some time ago there was a family in this area here that donated $1 million to the entertainment center downtown. Now, I don't know whether they asked for it or wanted it or not, but the end result was they got their name put on it. Now it's called, the blank center. Contrary to what Jesus said. They do this all the time, don't they? How many of these names have you found where people donate big sums of money and then they get the name and the glory that goes along with it? You better take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's all the reward they're going to get. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. It's a good thing to keep in mind. John 12, verse 43. John 12, verse number 43. See, even among the rulers, as we read here in verse number 42, many believed in him. Yeah, they knew Christ was special. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Think that hasn't happened? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Yeah, that's the benefits that they receive from this world. That's why they think the way they do, and that's why they act the way they do. Okay, let's consider the last point, and that is what I call the crowd instinct. Following the crowd. That's a very easy thing to do, isn't it? In fact, it's a human weakness. That's why it says here in Exodus 23, verse 2. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Yet how many times do we have riots and then people just get carried away and they do all kinds of things they probably never would have done under if they'd been by themselves. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? I should emphasize, however, it doesn't say that you should not follow a crowd to do good. Sometimes that happens, although rarely. But normally this is what happens. You know, we live in a time period today where political correctness reigns. You know what political correctness is? It's liberalism, it's progressivism, it's paganism. That's what it is. It's paganism with a political twist. People are very concerned about being politically correct. There have been athletes who have said the wrong thing to some reporter, and their whole careers have been ruined. Yeah. Here's an example. Here's what God tells you. You know, you better not worry about being politically correct and following the crowd. Notice Leviticus 19 and verse number 15. Leviticus 19, verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. And what do we have today? Well, we have this thing just absolutely gone awry, where people just cater to a certain class, whether it's economic or it's the color of their skin or whatever it is. They're absolutely partial. Or they're partial and afraid to death of somebody's powerful. So what happens in these courts? How many times have we found these big high-powered politicians, children are doing crimes and things of that nature, they're just given a little slap on the wrist and let go? They want to be politically correct. They don't want to offend anybody. And they're probably trying to protect their future. Don't think that doesn't happen. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 17. Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 17. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. So there's the instruction. Keep that in mind. We're not called to be judges in this life, but the time is coming when we will be. Let's have a right perspective on what proper judgment is. Galatians 2, verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. Here's an example, even what happened to Peter. So don't think that even these disciples didn't have flaws in human nature. Because this incident occurred at Antioch, and you remember, we're talking about Antioch of Syria, not Antioch of Pisidia. One of them, Antioch of Pisidia, was located in what we call Turkey today, but the Antioch of Syria was located in what we call Syria today, or possibly Lebanon, just exactly where it was located, is on the coast. And Paul was down there, and Peter were down there, and they were preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And a group of Jews came down from Jerusalem, came down because they went from a higher level down to the seacoast. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, remember James was in Jerusalem, so these were Jewish members who were in the congregation in Jerusalem, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. When I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all. Yeah. He took the authority in his hands and he pointed out what was wrong. Well, we can certainly assume that Peter and the group had really been sorry and repented over it, because later on Peter spoke of his beloved brother Paul. But it just shows you that if you're more concerned about what people think, that's going to regulate what you do. And if you think that way, it's going to cause the pursuant action. Plain and simple. You know what the key is? The key is to think right to begin with. And that comes from God's truth. It doesn't come from our own ideas, the notions we've picked up here and there, and the things that are contrary to God's will. Matthew 15, verse 14. Here's what Jesus said. We're talking about the crowd instinct, and the disciples are upset about a certain issue here, and what did he say? Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. And that's what happens today. And Romans 1, verse 32, here's another typical example of what I mean. This is the way people are. You know what the problem is? They do not think beyond this present physical life. They only think in terms of what's going on right now. They have no foresight into the future. Every time I hear some media person or some so-called authority that is able to spout off his opinion about here and there, and they say, why is everybody upset about homosexuality? It isn't going to have any effect on you and your family, any. What utter lack of foresight. What inability to realize what the repercussions are going to be in the long run. Yeah, here's a typical example here. Paul lists all these things that these people are guilty of. Why? Verse 28, Romans 1. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Read the consequences. Every kind of imaginable kind of behavior originated here and went right on down the line. And then what does Paul say here at the end? Verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Yeah, popularity, crowd instinct. So when you stop and think, you know, I asked the original question when we started here, why do people think the way they do? And let me say that the way they think is what they're going to do eventually. Why do they think the way they do? What does it have to do with? It has to do with knowledge. It has to do with their orientation. It has to do with their habits. It has to do with the benefits and profits they may derive from remaining in the status quo that they're so fond of. And lastly, it's due to the crowd instinct. Now, I think if we can be aware of these things, we can be making every effort to see that we're not in these categories.